We are in part four of a spiritual warfare series. We've been talking about how to combat the lies of the devil, how to combat the forces of darkness that would try to come against us. We are in the middle of a spiritual war, the Bible says. And we're called to fight the battle. And so the first week we talked about the devil, who he is, how he roams about like a roaring lion, that he's the accuser of the brethren. And we talked about how to combat those lies of the enemy. Then we talked about how to know when you're under spiritual attack. We gave some warning signs of spiritual attack. And then last week, we talked about how to combat demonic forces, the power of prayer and praise. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about snake eggs in your head. Everybody's like, what's that all about? We'll get to that in just a minute. Isaiah 59 and verse 4, this will make more sense as we go on, says, "No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive words. They can see the evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's webs. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out." So the writer Isaiah says they hatch snake eggs. They hatch snake eggs. He's comparing the conception of sin to being like snake eggs. It begins with a thought. Sin always begins with a thought. And so he says they hatch. But for it to hatch, it has to be planted in the mind. Sin begins in the mind. Have you found that to be true? Sin doesn't begin with an act of the body. It doesn't begin with an act of the soul. Sin begins in the mind. Always remember, the greatest battle that we will face is not the battle between angels and demons. It's not the battle that's taking place in the heavenlies. The greatest battle for your soul and my soul is the battle that takes place in your mind. Joyce Meyer wrote a book a few years ago, The Battlefield of the Mind. Last week we talked about Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are preaching in this town. And as they come into this town, this young woman, the Bible says, who is possessed by a spirit of divination, is following them and coming behind them and crying out, "These are servants of the Most High God, follow them." And she's distracting people from hearing the real message until finally Paul casts the demon out. And in the Greek, the word there for divination, the possession of a spirit of divination, is the Greek word python. Python. And so she was possessed by a spirit of python. So what is a spirit of python? Well, we've compared it to a python in nature. And what do? Pythons coil themselves around their victims. And every time their victim exhales, the python squeezes just a little bit tighter until the person is suffocated to death. It literally squeezes the breath out of them. And last week we talked about how the python spirit wants to come to squeeze the church, to squeeze the breath of God out of the church. The breath always through the Bible is representative of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. Amen? We've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We've got to have the breath of God in our midst. And the python spirit wants to come and constrict around people. I've been in churches where the spirit will begin to move and somebody shuts it down. A religious spirit will shut it down, or somebody that's too much, or we don't want that, or we don't want to offend anybody, or we don't want to say the wrong thing. And they shut down the power of God, the conviction of God, the moving of God, because they're afraid. What is that? It is a spirit of Python. And so we're looking at this, the devil coming like a serpent. The devil coming like a python, the enemy coming to constrict us. And so our scripture this morning, he talks about snake eggs. And I began to look and just read a little bit about a python and found it interesting that pythons lay more eggs than any other serpent. They can lay up to 100 eggs at one time. Isn't that just disgusting? I mean, just that's just absolutely gross. I hate snakes. Only good snake is a dead snake. I know certain snakes eat mice and bugs and stuff, but I can't stand snakes. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is how the enemy wants to plant thoughts in your mind and in my mind like snake eggs. He wants to plant them in your mind, just like our passage said. And if you don't deal with them, if you don't crush them, if you don't dig them out, then they will hatch and they will turn into sin. And the sin will become more than a thought. It will then become an action. You know, thoughts become actions. You know that to be true. Thoughts become actions. The thing that you think about continually, eventually you're going to act on it. Your life will begin to move in the direction of the way that you think. James 1:15 says that every sin begins with a thought. Verse 15 says, then when lust has conceived, Israel, put that up on the screen for us. When the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You see, it's the lust, sin, death cycle that we read about in the book of James. The verse before that, James says, each one is pulled away when they're enticed by their own thoughts, by the thoughts that come into our mind. And then when we begin to think about it, you know, there's a difference between a thought and lust. Lust literally means, it's not always a sexual term, lust means desire. You can lust for food. You can lust for power. Whatever it is, he said, when the lust has conceived, when it has planted the seed and it has conceived, it brings forth death. And when sin is full grown, when it brings forth sin, and when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. So it begins in the mind. Once we begin to think about it and we begin to focus on it and we begin to lust after it and we begin to desire it and we begin to want it, it will turn into sin, and that sin will eventually bring death to our spirits. The greatest battle for our souls is between our ears. The brutal killing this week in Charleston. What comes into a young man's mind to cause him to go into a Bible study, to pretend to be one of them, and then to pull out a gun and kill 9 people, including the pastor? That's demonic. That young man was possessed by something, and it wasn't anything good. Somewhere he opened his mind to something that came in and took over. The killings a year or so ago in Connecticut, when the kindergartners were killed and children were killed. The shooting in Aurora, Colorado years ago in Paducah and Columbine High School. When young people walking in with guns, shooting their friends, shooting people that they've gone to school with. It's terrifying, it's horrible, but it did not just happen. It didn't happen overnight. Somewhere Satan slipped a snake egg in those kids' minds. It's my third cousin, my father's first cousin. I guess he'd be my second cousin. I don't know. I don't remember how all that works. But anyway, he was my dad's first cousin. Lives in Paducah, Kentucky. was a Gideon, went everywhere preaching the gospel. He loved prison ministry. And the young man that killed the did the very first shooting we had in Paducah, Kentucky. Y'all remember when that happened several years ago. About a year later, my cousin is in the prison preaching, and they bring this young man into the service who was the boy that had shot everybody in Paducah. And my cousin had the privilege in that service, as he shared the gospel, that young man began to break. And he began to weep, and he led him to the Lord there during that service. And the young man is saved today. But in talking to him and in counseling with him and in working with him after this and even before this, he said that black things lived under his bed, and they would come out at night, and they began to infiltrate his mind and lie to him and talk to him. Somewhere he had opened a door to demonic spirits that were coming in, that oppressed him, that possessed him, to the point that he takes a gun to school and kills. If you don't deal with those things that come into your mind, if you don't crush it, if you don't dig them out, if we don't cast down these thoughts, just as the python mother will coil herself around her eggs and she stays there and uses her body heat to cause the eggs to grow and to hatch. When we think about these things, when we marinate on these things, when we focus. So, Jimmy, why are you preaching this on Father's Day? Well, because I know that the statistics bear out that 99% of men struggle with lust and pornography, and the other 1% lie about it. 100% struggle. There's a problem. There's a problem in America. And now it's not only just with men, but it's also with women opening themselves up to all kinds of perversion. It has swept through our country, the lies of the enemy. All the things that we're dealing with homosexuality and transgenders and all of these things that God hates, but somewhere someone has opened their mind up to a lie to be planted from the enemy. And it takes up residence. And listen, if we feed that thing, if we nurture that thing, we help it grow and hatch. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He didn't say it was wrong to look at another person, but he said it's wrong to look at them with lust, with that desire that we were talking about. So we have to control, men, right? We have to control the way we look, right? We have to control how we look and how long we look. I can't help somebody walking by me in a store. I can't help somebody coming to the swimming pool, you know, in a certain way, or going, you go to a park or somewhere. You can't help. You can't always help what comes up on the TV. You can't always help what comes up on your computer. You can't always help that. But I can control how long I focus on it and how long I look at it and how long I think about it. Amen? All we have to do to have victory over these things is not to allow the enemy to control us in our thinking. The Bible says to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. It's a picture, I said last week, of Jezebel. You remember Jezebel? All of her witchcraft and all of her harlotries, all of the things that she did to cause the children of Israel, to lead them into sin. And she climbs up in the tower, and Jehu is anointed to come and kill Jezebel. And he says, who's with me? And the eunuchs rise up and they throw Jezebel out the window. And she dies on the ground, splat, blood everywhere. And he takes his chariot and he rides over her dead body. Wouldn't you like to have been Jehu? Man, mount it up. Just go, boys. We're going to ride over. Then I like to tell he backed up and he did it again, and then he went forward again. No, I don't know. He made sure she was dead. Come on, we've got to make sure that things that have been in high places and strongholds in our life, that when we cast them down, that we've killed it. Jesus said it would be better that you lose your hand and enter into the kingdom of God with only one hand than your whole body to go into hell. We've got to cast down thoughts, the things that come into our mind. And I began to look at this lust, sin, and death cycle. And I hear people say, I'm struggling with sin. I struggle with sin. I'm struggling. And I began to realize that people are not struggling with the thing before the sin. We don't focus on that. We worry about once we've sinned, we struggle with, I've got to go to God and I've got to repent and ask forgiveness. We struggle on the back end instead of fighting on the front end and casting that thing down in the first place. There's some things you may need to do to protect your life. Maybe you need to get rid of internet at home. Maybe you need to put the computer right in the living room where everybody's with you when you're on it. Put passwords on it. I got an email this week from somebody that said, man, I'm putting this accountability program on my computer and sent it out to several other people and said, I want you to be an accountability partner and you're going to get an email for every website I go. And man, it shows everything, whether you want to know it or not. It shows it all. Come on, you've got to do that. You've got to be ruthless with sin, with any door that could be open to the enemy. Job 31:1, he said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look on a young woman? Job said, I've cut a covenant with my eyes. If there was ever a generation that needed that scripture. Can't have bouncing eyes, guys. Can't see something and boom, you bounce over to it. You got to learn to look away. Come on, everybody say this. I made a covenant with my eyes. That I will not look lustfully on the opposite sex. Come on, when the Victoria's Secret commercial comes on the TV, flip the channel. You've got my permission. Get up and go to the kitchen and make a sandwich. Go get a dessert or something. Do something. Renee and I she was joking last week. When she was growing up, when the JCPenney catalog, and everybody knows JCPenney catalog by comparison is pretty innocent to Victoria's Secret, right? But her mama would go through and she'd rip out all the underwear section and all the swimsuit section because Renee had brothers and she didn't want them seeing anything or thinking lustfully. Come on, sometimes you've just got to be ruthless with sin. You know what the definition of a hypocrite is, don't you? That's a person that complains about too much sex and violence on their DVD. Y'all will get that later. Okay. The Bible says that Lot didn't cut a covenant. Genesis chapter 13 says that Lot lifted his eyes towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He lifted his eyes. Then he pitched his tents toward Sodom and Gomorrah. So he didn't just lift his eyes. Now he's pointed his tents towards the city. And then it says he camped at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he moves in and lives in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. His daughters marry the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then his wife was so in love with the place that he lost her to the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see the progression of sin. What you open your eyes to. It's what you focus on and you begin to think about. He lifted his eyes towards Sodom and it was a slow progression until finally his whole family is devastated from what happens because of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it all started with him lifting his eyes. He didn't make a covenant with his eyes. Come on, our eyes need to have a covenant. I understand your life will move in the direction of the dominant thoughts that you allow to capture your thinking. Control how long you look. Control how long you dwell. Control your thought life. Well, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you saying? What are you feeding your mind? Come on, it's the eye gate and the ear gate and the mouth gate. You will either, listen to me, you will either lose the spiritual battle in your mind because of what you're looking at, listening to, and saying, or you'll win the spiritual battle in your mind because of what you're looking at, listening to, and saying. Amen? If you're focusing on good things, if you're reading God's word, if you're listening to Christian music, if you're keeping your mind focused on godly things, You're going to win that battle 9 times out of 10. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his sins and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Well, did you know the word repent means to change your mind? To change your mind. Unless your mind changes and you refuse to dwell on the things that you've been thinking about, you'll never experience the blessing of repentance. Come on, you got to say it. I'm going to change my mind about my lifestyle. I'm going to change my mind about the way I've been living. Change my mind about casually playing and flirting with sin. I've changed my mind. I'm repenting of that. I'm going to live differently. The other idea of repentance is that I'm walking one way and I turn and I go completely different direction. 180 degree turn. That's what happens in conversion. Minds are changed. Come on, and if the mother python isn't laying on the eggs and warming them, they will die. And in the same way, if we quit laying over and warming up those eggs, those thoughts, those things in our mind, they'll die. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. No provision. I know people that they pay the rent on that thing. They buy the groceries for that thing. You know what I'm talking about? They keep it going. They secretly have this thing that they're keeping going. They're making provision. And he says, put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. In Ezekiel 8, it's one of the strangest things I've seen in Scripture. But it talks about the 70 elders of Israel. They were in the temple and they had created a secret chamber, had a false wall. And inside of the wall, it's the first mention in the Bible of pornography, anything like that. They had all kinds of idolatry and graphic things and beasts and all kinds of weird things all over the walls of this inner chamber. And they were in there focusing on that, worshiping that. In Ezekiel 8:12, the Lord says to Ezekiel, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say the Lord does not see us. Well, God says, I see what they're doing in secret. I see what they're doing in the secret chambers. Do you know in the new covenant, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if we aren't careful, we can have secret chambers. Secret chambers where we're focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on that lust, that thing that we want, the thing that makes us feel good. And it becomes an idol to God. And it's amazing to see how people are deceived. I had someone tell me recently that they weren't happy with their spouse anymore. They just weren't happy. And so they were going to leave their spouse for this other person, because this other person was going to make them more happy. And they said, but you know, I'm saved. And Jesus loves me. And I'm filled with the Spirit. And I wanted to say, you're filled with the Spirit, but I don't think it's the Spirit of God. It's a spirit of adultery. It's a spirit of immorality. It's a spirit of deception. You don't just up and leave somebody because they're not making you happy anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a deceiving spirit that has lied to people in this generation, and they're falling for it left and right. You can't continue to do the things you do and continue in the lifestyle of sin. Now, here's what's interesting about these 70. If you go back to the book of Exodus, they come out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, and Moses is trying to do everything for the nation. And his father-in-law comes and he says, man, this isn't good, Moses. He said, you need to get you some help. And so he said, you ought to pick you some men. And so as the story goes, he gets 70 men. 70 men, appoints them to take over and help him judge. They'll judge all the little things. Moses will judge the big stuff. Help Moses take care of this. Out of this grew, those 70 men become the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin Council of Israel. So he appoints these 70 men. It's an interesting story. I think it's in Exodus 24. God invites Moses, the high priest, his two sons, and the 70 elders, and they come to a feast that God has prepared for them. And the Bible says as they come up to this table, God has a table prepared with food, and all they could see were the feet of God. And it says that the pavement under his feet looked like jasper. And they see the actual presence of God, just his feet. And they come in and they eat and they experience. And God takes the spirit that's on Moses, the Bible says, and he puts it on those 70 men so that they were able to lead. Now, they become the Sanhedrin. But now, fast forward a few generations. And now it says that these same 70 elders have a secret chamber in the temple where they're fornicating with idols. And then you fast forward another 17 generations from the time of Ezekiel. And what do these 70 men do? They crucify the Savior. Their thinking has gotten so far from the things of God, they don't even recognize who Jesus is, and they crucified the Savior. In between Moses and the crucifixion, they had secret chambers of evil thinking that led them away. Come on, we don't realize sometimes how far our evil thinking will take us. King David saw a UFO. An unclothed female object. And he had a thought. It started as a thought. He saw her and he thought about it. And come on, it turned into lust, and the lust became adultery, and the adultery became murder. We have no idea how far our evil thinking can take us. We have to understand we're visual beings. Did you realize that 4 million bytes of information per second at the speed of 187,000 miles per hour go through our minds? That's how fast thoughts are going through your mind. Our minds paint pictures. If I say elephant, you see one. If I say red apple, you see one, right? It's just that quick. Your mind is moving that fast. We think in pictures, and the devil knows it. The devil knows that you're visual. And so our eyes, our ears, our mouths, we have to protect from the pollution that's coming in. The enemy wants to drop thought bombs. Just thought bombs. Just these little thought grenades that he's throwing. All the time. It's all around us. I think of the music that kids are listening to today, and it's a lot worse than it was bad in my generation, but man, it's worse now. Even a little innocent at one time, Miley Cyrus, totally gone off the deep end. Her 2013 hit, We Can't Stop, to all my homegirls here with the big butt, shaking it like we had a strip club. Remember, only God can judge you. Forget the haters, because somebody loves you. Everybody in line in the bathroom, trying to get a line in the bathroom. We all turned up here, getting turned up here. Yeah, yeah, you can't stop us. We can't stop. People say, it's no big deal. It's just music. It's just music. I'm not listening to the lyrics. I'm just listening to the beat. And they flip the station over to Kanye, talking about rolling my weed on it and all kinds of other perverted things that we can't even talk about in public. What is it? It's snake eggs. Snake eggs. Snake eggs. Snake eggs of lying. Snake eggs get drunk. Snake eggs get high. Snake eggs, you can't control yourself, teenager. Snake eggs, do what you want. Have sex. Doesn't matter with who. Miley Cyrus came out this week and said, I can have sex with whoever I want to. Man, well, as long as it's not an animal. What in the world? I'm sorry if this is too much. People say, I can handle it. I can handle it. But sooner or later, the eggs are going to hatch. You know, I wish sin and its consequences were instantaneous. Don't you wish that it was like Pinocchio? That when you told a lie, just your nose would grow and everybody'd know it and you'd get it over with. But it's not like that. It takes time. We don't understand that sometimes. We forget that God sees the secret. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Come on, just because you're getting away with it now doesn't mean you always will. God told Adam, in the moment you eat of the fruit, you will die. But Adam ate it and he didn't die physically, but he died much worse. He died spiritually. See, sowing and reaping is not instant. I wish it was. It's not like Pinocchio. It's not like that. Anybody want these? Man, oh man. Yep. Wow. I should have bought all these for the men for Father's Day, shouldn't I? Yep. Now, Jonathan, stand up here, everyone. You mind if I use you as an example? Jonathan's a big, strong guy. He's run Total Fitness. You know, I mean, he's in shape. That's your son-in-law. I'm sorry. He's still in shape. He looks better than me. What would happen if all of a sudden Jonathan said, you want one of those donuts? Yeah. Okay. What would happen, though, if he said suddenly he was going to start eating these every single day? He started looking like me, right? You can sit down. Thank you. What are the consequences of a steady diet of Krispy Kreme? I just ate it. I just ate it. Nothing happened. What some people say about sex. We did it, nothing happened. I got drunk, I went to the party, nothing happened. Lightning didn't strike, God didn't zap me. It's just a few. Wow. Okay, I gotta. Sorry. What else I got in here? What do y'all think? Come on. It's gross. Come on, Marlboro will be my burial, right? Come on, 15-year-old. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Smoke. I'm smoking, you know. I've been smoking for a while. I can still run around the football field. I can still do what I used to do. It's no big deal. Now, I'm not saying cigarettes are going to send you to hell, but they make you smell like you've been there. I'm not here to beat up on people. I'm just saying we want to help you get free of whatever it is that is controlling your life. I could have picked a lot of different things. I figured it'd be going into a store and buying a beer and then getting in the church van probably wouldn't have been the best witness. So I didn't bring a can of whatever. Well, listen, it's in the Bible. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. It may not affect you now. You may be getting away with it now, but one day, come on, you're going to be out on that date, you'll be in that car, you'll be somewhere, and all of a sudden that Kanye song will come on, and the next thing you know, you're in the middle of something that's getting a little bit out of control. But I love this, Because the same way we get in is the same way we get out. If I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. But he says, if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. But I begin to sow to the Spirit. I'm not smoking 8 packs of cigarettes now. I'm smoking 4 packs of cigarettes. Keep Spirit, sowing to the Spirit. And it will reap eternal life. Well, get the snake eggs out. Begin to remove them. Romans 12, 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the removing, the renewing of your mind. Thought bombs. Thought bombs of depression. Thought bombs. The enemy says, just quit. Just give up. Just stop. You're not ever going to change. Things are not ever going to get any better. Well, we've all gone through periods like that. Periods where we feel like we can't win or where something is wrong. You've got to learn that that is where the real battle comes in. That's where the battle comes in. When those thoughts start coming in to your mind. Discouragement and doubt. You can't listen to the thought bombs. It's the devil throwing his darts at you. Snake eggs trying to take root. It's spiritual warfare. And come on, remember, we fight the devil with the Word of God. We fight the devil with the sword of the Spirit. The devil wants you and I to doubt God. It started in the garden with Adam and Eve. Did God really say? But what did Jesus do? Jesus responded to the devil's lies and the devil's questions with the Word of God. Jesus always responded, it is written. And we've got to do the same thing. You see, the devil is always raising questions. Jesus is always raising the Word. And we've got to raise the Word. I told y'all a while back, you ought to download this app. It's called Shut Up, Devil. Anybody want to tell the devil just to shut up, man? The devil's constantly putting thoughts in our mind, and we've got to learn to say, devil, it is written. Devil, it is written. Shut up, devil. Get out of my mind. Leave me alone. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And we've got to learn to say the same thing. I love this app. It's Shut Up, Devil, and it's got all these scriptures. All it is scriptures. Common issues, addiction, anger, anxiety, confusion, depression, discouragement, fear, finances, gossip, guilt, health, impatience, insecurity, jealousy, laziness, loneliness. Anybody dealing with any of this? Lust, offense, pride, rejection, selfishness, stress. Anybody deal with stress? Temptation, being unloved. And it's got all these scriptures from the Bible pertaining to these issues. And so then you can click on it and set up your favorites. It's got scriptures on the armor of God. And then it wasn't working when I first downloaded it, but it has a reminder in there. And so you can set the reminder. It'll remind you every hour. It'll remind you every 2 hours. It'll remind you every 4 hours. My phone will be in my pocket at work, and I'll look at it. Shut up, devil, pops up. You know, it's reminding you to open up, and you go to your favorite scriptures, and you can go through there. And if you're struggling with things during the day, there's things that you're battling against. It's a constant reminder. You can even set up your own category. And then it has not only the scripture, but it has a prayer that you can pray, how to pray, where you are talking about yourself in this scripture. Come on, how many of you know the way to combat the lies of the enemy is through the Word of God? It's the only way we're going to overcome. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Come on, as you testify what God has done for you. Because the battle in our minds is real. And what you put in is what's going to come out. God wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to bow to the lies and the things that the enemy wants to plant in our minds. I want to show you a video real quick. And we're going to pray. Israel, play that video.
There's a preacher whom probably everyone in here knows. I had a vision about him last year. And in the vision, I saw him in his home. Remain standing, everyone that can. And in the vision, I saw him in his home. And in his home, I saw him smoking a cigarette. And I saw two homosexual guys on his right and on his left. And I left the vision, in the vision, I'm still in the vision, but I left the house and went to the service. He was preaching and people was going crazy. I mean, like they was hanging all on the roof and ceiling it, going crazy because he was preaching so wonderful. But then I went back in the vision and saw him leave the church and go back to the house with a boy on the left, boy on the left, smoking a cigarette. Came out the vision, said, "Lord, what is this?" He said, "This is the spirit of perversion that has crept into his life." He said, "I've heeded him and gave him warnings, but he refused to listen." He said, "Now, what I shall do is I shall take the anointing off of him and place it upon another." Well, I seen the preacher. And he was preaching. And folk was still getting delivered. Now, God told me he'd taken the anointing off of him. But I seen him preaching. Folk got delivered. I didn't understand that. And the Lord spoke to me. I was sitting in that room. Now, I saw folk going crazy, but I'm sitting in the service and I'm crying. And I wasn't crying because I felt the presence of God. I was crying because the church is so deceived that we don't know the presence of God. I said, we're so deceived that we're shouting, we're screaming, we're bumping, and we don't know the difference between the genuine presence of God and gift. What? Huh? A lot of folk don't have presence, they just have gift. But I'm concerned about your inner man. See, until you get this inner man right, you can't get this flesh right. We have a good way of dressing up everything on the outside, but being evil on the inside. I see this preacher still operating, preaching, still call around the country, preaching, going crazy. The Lord spoke to me. He said, "Son, remember I told you, I'm the only boss that will fire you and let you keep working. You don't play with God." I told God, "Whatever you do, don't let me be fired and I don't even know it." Pray every morning is, "God, please don't let me just come to church and preach and I'm prophesying and folk being delivered and I die and go to hell. God, if it's anything in my life, get it out of me now." Saul was king for 40 years. He was only anointed for two years.
Wow.
That means for 38 years, God left him in position, but the presence of God had left him. You think you're all right because you're still singing in the choir.
Wow.
Still preaching behind the pulpit. Still ushering. You think you don't even know that God done stripped you. Adam, the day you eat the fruit, you shall surely what? Die. Adam was still walking. He was a walking dead man. God spoke to me. He said, "Son, I got so many ways of killing you and letting your flesh stay alive." Lift your hand. Say, "Lord, don't do it to me." Say it again. "Lord, don't do it to me."
Lord, don't do it to me. You know, sometimes we just need seasons that we come to God and we just repent. Amen? When we just come to God and we just confess. Because we've all got things that we deal with. There's a difference between something we're dealing with and something that has become what the Bible calls a secret sin. A secret sin, something that we've turned inward and we don't want to let go of, and now it's what he's talking about. It's become a spirit of perversion or something else